The Word of God says it is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I think it is one of the finest things you can do tonight in view of the need concerning those that are ill, that we get together and we pray one for another. And because of that, I have a long subject tonight, and I'm not going to go over time. Now, I hope I can cut this message like link sausage tonight, just cut it off at the right place. It's a message that I feel is so necessary to the saints of God. This is ministry to God's people, and I want to minister on the subject of the ministration of the Holy Spirit in relation to that blessed position that is ours. We are partakers of the new covenant. I've heard very little ministry in the assemblies of the blessedness of the new covenant. Yet our Lord instituted the new covenant the night in which he was betrayed, when he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And the new covenant was cut by the Savior himself with his own precious blood, ratified through his resurrection from the dead, and applied to the people of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like you to turn, and I'm going to read a long portion tonight, and I may read it again next Sunday night. I'm not making a promise to do that. But I'm going to seek, by the grace of God, to bring out a few things tonight that should cause our hearts to rejoice. I invite you to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We shall begin our reading at verse 14, and we shall end somewhere in chapter 4. So it's a lengthy reading, but this section goes together. And it deals with the Holy Spirit's ministry to his people. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Notice that question. Who is sufficient for these things? "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." In Hebrews chapter 8 and in Hebrews chapter 10, where we have the specific ministry and blessedness of the new covenant mentioned, he says, "I will write my law in their mind and in their hearts." And here, Paul, in speaking of the blessedness of the new covenant, he speaks to people and he says, "You are our epistle, known and read of all men, not and written not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." Verse 4 says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Did you notice in chapter 2, the end of verse 16, he said, who is sufficient for these things? In chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the new covenant. Now verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ? For even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, that Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, may it be our privilege tonight to have that unveiled face and to behold in the mirror of thy word the glory of thy dear Son, that we may experience being changed into his image from glory to glory in our Christian walk, until that day when we meet him in the glory and we are like him forever. Make this real and rich to our hearts, for we are, by thy grace, are partakers of the new covenant, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the basic ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer and to the believer, according to 2 Corinthians 3, is more glorious. It is all of him, the leading of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the illuminating of the believer's mind, is all of Him. But while we have the ministration of the Spirit in this passage, we have the ministration also of the man Paul. And while we have the ministration of the Spirit and the ministration of the man Paul, we find that these two merge into one. Happy is the man whose ministry is that of the Holy Spirit Himself. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to perform His gracious ministry for and in His people. I learned that in chapter 3 and verse 6. For we read there, who hath also made us able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Able ministers of the new covenant. Now, beloved, I'm not talking about preachers. I'm talking about God's people who, by divine grace, have been made able ministers of the new covenant. Well, now, I want you to notice, first of all, that this ministry is the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord Jesus. You see, the ministry of the man Paul and the ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit who has come to indwell every believer, they merge according to the word of the Lord. I'd like you to turn with me to the 15th of John. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we want to look at two verses here in John 15. And the verses we want to look at are verses 26 and 27, where we read, but when the Comforter, and that is another word that is used concerning the Holy Spirit, when the one called alongside who's just like me, for that's what the Lord is saying here, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. That's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And ye also shall bear witness. Now, if you take a Greek New Testament and look up the word testify in verse 26, and the word bear witness in 27, you will find that it is the same Greek word. What our Lord is saying, the Holy Spirit is going to testify of me, and you as a believer will also testify of me because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, happy, beloved, is the child of God whose ministry is that of the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, this is not the exceptional thing. Oh, no. This is presented to us as the normal Christian experience. This, beloved, is why the rock was smitten. Israel in the wilderness at Rephidim, the rock was smitten and the water came forth. Our Lord in His earthly life cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. This is why the rock was smitten, beloved. In our Lord's earthly life, in Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 and 50, our Lord says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. You see, the giving of the Holy Spirit to God's people is the result of the mighty work of Calvary. And you have that in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, where we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, and the gift of the Holy Spirit to the people of God is the result of the mighty redemptive program that was wrought out on Calvary's Hill when the Savior died in our place and in our stead. And friends, this should be as real to us as the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how we revel in the fact that the Lord met us that day in our need when we called upon Him, and He graciously delivered us from the bondage of sin. That's a great thing to be able to say and to sing. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But it also should be as real to us to enjoy the blessed ministration of the Spirit of God in our lives. For the Scripture says we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into His same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We live in extremes because the Pentecostals and the so-called charismatics have taken the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit and carried it to extremes. I'm so afraid that we have taken the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit to another extreme. We never teach God's people His mighty work, why He has been given, and the blessedness of making God's people able ministers of the new covenant. And while the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of Himself, my soul has always been blessed, beloved, when I have ministered upon the graciousness of His mighty work and His purpose in this age in indwelling His people. How we need this in our day. We do. Now, what is His ministry like? Well, the first thing I learn as I study this passage, it is a transforming ministry. It transformed the children of God. Because it is progressive in our lives. It is from glory to glory. In Romans chapter 1 concerning the gospel, we read the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is from faith to faith as it is written. The just shall live by faith. And the living of the Christian life is from glory to glory, as we behold the person of Christ in the Word of God. Now, when we think of a transforming ministry, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror His glory, are changed, and we are changed from glory to glory. There's a principle here. It is by beholding that we are changed. And we must spend time beholding what? The glory of the Lord. Where? In the Word of God. Now this look, we all with unveiled face beholding, this look that we have and that we use and we give to the glory and the person of our Lord Jesus, it is centered in the will. Let me explain that. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 21, that great illustration of the gospel, the uplifted serpent in the wilderness, illustration of the gospel that our Lord used in John chapter 3. When the children of Israel had to go round about the land of Edom, you remember how they murmured, and God sent fiery serpents among the people. Many of the people died when they were bitten. Now, they cried to Moses, and Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord said, make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And whoever is bitten, when he beholds a serpent of brass, what happens? He'll be healed. My, what an illustration of the gospel. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I have a question for you. You know, when you think of the camp of Israel moving through the wilderness, there were 600,000 men of war. That's quite a crowd. And they were between the ages of 20 and 50. You see, how many were over 50? How many women? How many children? You know, conservative estimates were about 2.5 million people going through the wilderness. That's the city of Baltimore. How would you like to see the city of Baltimore moving south? By way of Raleigh, North Carolina. And we gotta get this. Now here's the camp of Israel. And people were being bitten everywhere. Where did Moses put the serpent of brass? He put it on a pole somewhere. And they all knew where it was. Now there were those who were real close to the serpent of brass. And there are those who were dwelling way on the outskirts. But it didn't matter where they dwelt. It was all in the look. Because that look was a look of faith. They believed that if they looked, they would live. And beloved, if we believe, we behold. And beholding, we're changed. It's all in the will. Do we want to be like Christ? You see, the 115th Psalm declares unto us that we become like the object we worship. Concerning the heathen, in the Psalm 115, we read the idols of the heathen. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have throats, but they can't speak to their throat. They who make them are like unto them, so is everyone who trusteth in them. We become like the object we worship. Concerning the heathen, what about us? We become like the object we worship. And the object of our worship is our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John 3 verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Romans 8 verse 29 tells me that God's predestinating work is to conform us to the image of his Son. How does he do it? He does it by the gracious ministration of the Holy Spirit in us as we behold the person of Christ. From glory to glory, the Scotsman sings. From glory to glory, he leads me on. From faith to faith, every day. And that's the way it is. The blessed ministration of the Holy Spirit. You see, we shall be like him. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly. You know, I often tell the Lord something. I don't know what you're doing. Do you ever tell him that? Do you understand why Janet Alexander has to suffer? I don't. I often tell the Lord concerning these things, I don't know what you're doing, but I say with David, as for God, his way is perfect. He has never made a mistake. And we must submit to his sovereign lordship. We shall be like him. Now we see through a glass darkly. There are a lot of things I don't know. Oh, but there's a day coming, beloved, when I shall see him face to face. I'm going to be like him. I'll see him face to face. There are limits now, but there'll be no limits then. Oh, what a blessing. There'll be no limits then. Now we behold him in the mirror of his word. It's the only way you can. There's no other way to behold the glory of the Lord. God has narrowed us down to grace, and he has narrowed us down to the word of God. There's no other way to know it and to behold his glory. Then it will be face to face. But you see, beholding, our text in verse 18 says, beholding, we are changed. Now in this text, while the work is a transforming ministry, there's a great contrast between the glory of the old covenant that was instituted at Mount Sinai and the glory of the new covenant that we are partakers of by divine grace. And the contrast is great. Now, you remember when Moses was on the mountain receiving the law of God, Israel made the golden calf, Exodus chapter 32. And then following, God spoke to Moses and he said, get thee down, the children of Israel have corrupted themselves. And there was a continuous dialogue between God and Moses. And when you get to chapter 33 of Exodus and verse 18, Moses turns to God and he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What a statement. And God said to Moses, Moses, no man can see my glory, can behold my glory and live. But I'm going to show you the afterglow of my glory. And it's an amazing thing when God put Moses in the cleft of the rock. He made all his goodness to pass before Moses. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. That's what Moses needed. That's what he needed. You see, Moses didn't ask God to meet the situation in the people. Moses cried out, show me thy glory. And when Moses beheld the glory of God, he had the answer for the people of God. And beloved, if we're going to minister to God's people today and be effective, we're going to have to behold the glory of God in the Word of God so that we have something to say to the people of God. That's how we meet the situation. There isn't any other way. God has shut us up. You see, God said to Moses, you're going to see my after effects. You see, you can't see the presence of God, can you? No. But I tell you something, you can see where God has been present. You can't see God in a brother, but you can see the result of God in a brother. You can't see the wind, can you? But you can see the results of the wind. And so it is with us. You see, we see the effects of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people of God. Show me, is what Moses said to God, and the glory of what God does in a life. Well, The time came that Moses came down from the mountain. His face was shining. You see, he had a real experience. You know why? He didn't know it. He didn't know it. Others had to tell him. And friends, when we get to the place in our Christian life that we've been in the presence of God and other people take notice of it and we don't, that's when it's real. We just long for His presence and other people take notice that we've been with Jesus. Moses' face shone. Now, you see, I learned something from this. The old covenant came with glory. And that very glory of the old covenant was manifested in the face of Moses. But I learned something else. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is more glorious. That's what it says. If the ministration of death is glorious, much more the ministration of life is more glorious. And you and I, by divine grace, are partakers of that more glory that is ours in Christ Jesus as partakers and members of the new covenant. The glory of God revealed in the face of Moses was as much the glory of God as the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. You need to grasp that. The glory of God revealed in the face of Moses was as much the glory of God as that seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But the difference is this. In terms of the law, man couldn't look upon it. Moses had to put a veil on. He had to cover it. But you and I, who are partakers of the new covenant, beloved, with unveiled face, we behold in the mirror of His Word His glory. It's unveiled. It's open. It's out in the open. The Spirit of God's ministry in and through His people. You see, the difference is this. In terms of law, it condemned the people. It condemned them. It was a ministration of death. But oh, the glory of the new covenant. We all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the law. What is the law? The law is an expression of the character and holiness of God. It's an expression and an illustration of His moral character. Let me ask you, what is God like? I'll tell you. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now what's my problem? My problem is this. Knowing God's moral character doesn't make me one whit better. Dr. Law never gave anybody a new heart. He needs that visit to Dr. Grace and the blessing of the new covenant, beloved. And once he has that, see, John put it right. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, he said, of His fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. Of whose fullness? Of the fullness of the Godhead manifest in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who were here at the Lord's Supper tonight, our brother read from Colossians chapter 1. And he read verse 19 that says, it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all fullness should dwell. And it is of his fullness that we have received grace upon grace. I think we better stop there, or I'm going to go for another hour and a quarter. So, the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit is more glorious. It's a transforming ministry, and we see the blessedness of it when we take time to contrast it, as Paul does in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. One thing, and I'm going to stop. It is this. Blessed is the Christian whose ministry is that of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, the Lord Jesus said, will testify of me, and you also shall testify of me. This should be real to us, as real as the forgiveness of sins. Oh, may God enable us to thus glorify the Lord and know something of the blessed ministry of that blessed one who has come to indwell us, even the Spirit of God. Now let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we commend and commit to thee the ministry of thy word tonight. Deliver us, O God, from an overdose of the ordinary, being satisfied with just talking about the forgiveness of sins. Oh, may we not be satisfied with anything less than beholding continuously from glory to glory the glory of God revealed in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make thy people hungry, O God, and then satisfy them with that goodness that being a partaker of the new covenant provides by divine grace. And unto thee we'll give the glory and the praise through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.